There's still stunned disbelief on the streets of Mazatlan, Mexico, that after evading capture for years, one of the world's most powerful drug kingpins with near-mythical reputation was arrested this weekend without a single shot fired or a blazing final stand. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, head of the powerful Sinaloa drug cartel, was captured by Mexican Marines. NPR's John Burnett has reported extensively about the Sinaloa cartel's worldwide activities, and he joins us now. Hi there, John.
Hi, Meghna.
So, John, you've covered the Mexican mafia wars along the U.S.-Texas border extensively, and you've written about the Sinaloa cartel. So, first of all, just tell us, who is Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, and how did he attain what seems to be mythic status in Mexico?
Well, as it happens, I was in Culiacan, the headquarters of the capital of Sinaloa State and the headquarters of the cartel. I was there about 12 days ago, and El Chapo is seen as this sort of supervillain with superhuman powers. You know, where is he? He's everywhere at once. You know, is he living in Mexico? Is it Argentina, Europe, the United States? He's said to travel with this large army of pistoleros around him at all times. And there's this sort of apocryphal story illustrating, how he's seen in Mexico, that people are in a fine restaurant and El Chapo comes in with all of his henchmen around him, and he locks the doors and he takes everybody's cell phone. He collects their mobile phones, and then he says, everyone continue their dinner. And so they order steaks and they order the best wines. And at the end, Chapo picks up the tab, and then he and his henchmen leave as quickly as they came. But I've heard this story independently in Juarez, in Culiacan, and I know that's told elsewhere. There's this sort of legend that sprung up around him, partly fed by the fact that he did escape from Mexico's supermax prison in 2001 in a laundry cart. There's still musicians in Culiacan who sing about El Chapo like some sort of Robin Hood character. Pablo Escobar in Colombia was like that, to where, you know, he actually, you know, spread money around and helped the helpless. And in fact, Chapo's a monster. When he takes over territory in Mexico, it's a scorched earth campaign. He sends in his assassins to murder everyone associated with the cartel, not just the traffickers, but journalists, lawyers, and police, as we saw in Juarez. And there was even a human rights monitor in Culiacan who told me recently that there have been villages depopulated up in the Sierra in Sinaloa because of Chapo's people wanted their land, and they've virtually taken over these villages.
Wow. Now, I've been seeing that he is being called one of the most wanted men in the entire world. So, I mean, how extensive is the reach of the Sinaloa cartel?
Well, the DEA considers the Cartel de Sinaloa as the largest, richest, most powerful, and most successful drug smuggling and money laundering organization in the world. Not the most brutal. That goes to the Zetas. Interestingly, the Sinaloans have a reputation as being certainly ultra-violent, but only when it's necessary, they just stick to drug smuggling. And they're not sort of, you know, freelance criminals that get into extortion and gasoline pirating and human smuggling like the Zetas do. But in terms of their range, my goodness, they have distribution cells in Arizona, California, Texas, New York, and Chicago. Even in Chicago, the crime commission there named El Chapo public enemy number one, which they haven't done since the days of Al Capone. The Sinaloans distribute narcotics in certainly the United States, in Europe, in parts of Asia. And I actually went to Australia on this very story. And Chapo's organization delivers cocaine to the shores of Australia, where it supplies the club scene in Sydney.
Well, John, let me ask you, I mean, you mentioned his mythic status in Mexico, and he did seem untouchable and an elusive target in years past. I mean, I've seen that, for example, Mexicans were wondering if the government was deliberately not going after Guzman. I mean, back in 2009, if I remember correctly, the Archbishop of Mexico's Durango State actually told reporters that Guzman was there and, quote, everyone knows it except the authorities. I mean, why were there so many close calls before this weekend's arrest?
It's very complicated, Megan, and there were certainly reports that we reported on that Chapo's organization was the most successful cartel in Mexico at bribing officials all the way to the top into the federal government, and that this helped him evade capture for so long. But what happened is that he really had enormous symbolic importance. He got to when you become the world's most wanted drug trafficker, you become a prize. That outweighs even the ability of your organization to bribe your security. And so there's even a theory in Mexico that Chapo was too big, too mythical, that he was bad for business. He brought too much heat to the organization. And so the Mexican armed forces wanted him so bad to show the world that they're winning the war. He was Mexico's Osama bin Laden. And so, you know, this theory holds that actually he had gotten too big.
Mm. Now that he's been arrested, do we know whether or not he will be extradited to the United States?
Well, that's a very good question. There are diverging reports, both in the Mexican press and by U.S. correspondents in Mexico City. There are indictments that have been there for several years now, both in Texas and in Chicago and elsewhere, that they want Chapo very bad to face charges of being a drug lord in the United States. We just don't know, because he's also, again, he's an enormous symbol of the seriousness of the Enrique Peña Nieto administration in Mexico to crack down on crime there. Would they want to put him on a sort of show trial in Mexico, or would they want to deliver him to the United States, where he's been the most wanted man? We will have to wait and see.
Finally, John, I'm seeing reports that yearly profits from the methamphetamine, marijuana, and cocaine trade that the cartel is in are upwards of $3 billion. And, I mean, that kind of business isn't just dismantled because its head has been arrested. So what happens to the Sinaloa cartel now with Guzman in custody?
That's a really great question, Meghna. You know, there are two theories about that. One is that, Chapo is indispensable, that he was a logistical genius. He was the visionary who expanded small Mexican mafia into a worldwide trafficking organization, and that the Sinaloa cartel's influence will diminish now that he's gone. The other is that he was a figurehead, and that, as I said before, he was on the run, that he had left running the day-to-day organization to his lieutenants. So what happens now that they've decapitated the Sinaloa organization? We know from other examples that definitely it can lead to more violence, that the old saying in Mexico, when you cut off the brains, the thugs take over. You know, his associate, Ismael Zambada Garcia, known as El Mayo, is now sort of the last capo standing, the last sort of mythic capo standing in Sinaloa. El Mayo told the Mexican magazine Proceso in 2010, they could grab me at any minute. And so if I were El Mayo, I'd be sweating today. If the Mexican Marines, with the help from the DEA, can get Chapo, they can get Mayo.
NPR's John Burnett. John, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.